Welcome to Industrynama, a podcast that covers everything A to Z on India's small business growth and job creation. My name is Rick Rosso, and I hold the Wadhwani Chair in U.S.-India Policy Studies here at CSIS, and I've worked on Indian commercial issues for decades. Join us as we dive into the intersection of Indian government policy and the startup ecosystem, looking at good ideas to accelerate India's economic growth. Welcome to the Industrynama podcast, where we discuss the critical role that startups and small businesses play in the Indian economy and ways to accelerate their growth. With me today is Ms. Gunjan Krishna, Commissioner of the Industries and Commerce Department in the Government of Karnataka. Welcome, Ms. Krishna. It's great to see you again.
Great to see you too. I look forward to an interesting conversation.
Well, you know, luckily speaking, of course, to Karnataka, your state has always been the hotbed. The first time that I think American companies began to take an interest in the Indian economy overall, a driving dynamic technology sector, a vast moving manufacturing sector, so many key industries there. Now, here we are coming through the end of the pandemic. You see, you know, because of some additional U.S. pressures on trying to diversify supply chains, looking for new markets. What kind of things, you know, has Karnataka been putting in place to try to become that next best place for a lot of global value chains to consider as a destination for some of their big investments they're looking at?
So definitely we are living in very interesting times, and we all know about the geopolitical dynamics that's happening. And that's an opportunity that India has, and Karnataka in particular. If we look at the economy of Karnataka, we are very integrated with the rest of the world. And we are number one in sectors like aerospace and defense, IT and IT services, startups we all know about, machine tool, again, we are number one. We are doing a lot of work in the biotechnology. So all the frontiers of the next century, like this century, if you're looking at, Karnataka excel in all of those sectors, which is why we are very closely integrated. During the pandemic time, we made sure that, you know, the Airbus or the Boeing, you know, they have a lot of tier one suppliers here in Karnataka. So we made sure all of them were working. So there were no full stops in the production during the time when the pandemic and the lockdown was on. So taking into account all this background, what we have ensured is, you know, how we can take advantage, and every challenge brings with it opportunities. So what are the opportunities that are present? And we, in this background, also designed our global investors meet that we held in November. And the idea was that hitherto countries all over the world had been looking at India as essentially a market. So they say, okay, we are for 1.4 billion people. So this is a huge market. We have a huge middle class. So that is something that, and they were not looking at essentially as manufacturing in India. What we are now saying is we have put our eggs in one basket, or, you know, in one geography, and we have seen, you know, how the supply chain, you know, has worked out during the COVID, and how the countries are looking at friendshoring, or, you know, we are seeing a major push of industrialization within the US, Mexico, and NAFTA. That's what we are looking at. Within this, what we are saying is that look at India not just as a demand center, which definitely we are, but also look at it, you know, as a center, because geographically also we are very nicely placed, which can serve both the Eastern markets and the Western markets. So look at us both for our demand and for manufacturing, and we can become a hub for the global manufacturing. But given our population, large population base that we have youngsters who can provide and skilled labor at that. So they can have a large talent pool available. We have high technology. So that's again, you know, which is required for the modern day manufacturing. We have the ecosystem in terms of, you know, when it comes to infrastructure, we have the airports, the roads, and the corridors for the export corridors. So all of that put together. And within that, Karnataka is very well located. We are like in the southern part of India, very stable part. It doesn't get impacted, you know, whatever is happening. And we are seismologically also very, very stable. And we have been having very stable governments, even though government changes. I have seen myself three chief ministers, but the policy continuum. So that is something very, very positive in Karnataka. And we've been working on ease of doing business. I won't say we have arrived, but there's lots that we can do, and we are working on it. And we think, you know, if we have these blocks in place, then India definitely, you know, this decade and the coming decades can be India's decades, and we can provide that engine to the world.
Policy stability, you know, is crucial, because we see sometimes with state elections and changes of government, big changes. So that's an important point. You mentioned in terms of business reforms and how you get in place. The World Bank, of course, previously had its Doing Business report, but they've decided to discontinue that, at least for the interim. The Ministry of Commerce and Industry with doing the Business Reform Action Plan. How is it that you look at what Karnataka has in place and benchmark yourself against other states or against other countries? What sort of tools do you use to try to figure out, how do you provide the best sort of incentives and investor interests that you can?
So both when it comes to the industrial policy, there are two parts to it. One is, of course, the ease of doing business. So ease of doing business, the World Bank study, which they were doing annually, has been discontinued. But Government of India, DPIIT particularly, has been doing this study, which they call ease of doing business, BR, Business Reform Action Plan. And we have, incidentally, last year, we were the top achievers in that. And the idea is, factors of production and how we can make it very easy. One is information asymmetries, the kind of information that an investor requires. So that should be very easily available. In fact, we are coming out, it will be soon that, if you are looking at buying a land and you just can check it out on our GIS platform to see that if in this particular sector, it conforms to, because you cannot build near to the river. If there is a pond, you need to leave certain, offset, or if there is some wildlife or some other criteria, all of them have been put on a particular platform and that we are trying to do. Similarly, what we have done is all the approvals that you require, be it central government, state government, or the government of local governments, all of them again put on one platform. So information we have really taken care of. Second part is that how we can ensure that there is a single window to look after these and how there are time-bound manner that we can ensure that all of these approvals are given. So we have a single window. We can make it much better. We have studied the best of the systems that are in the world. Say New Zealand has got a fantastic system and they had been topping the charts. So we had studied theirs. We have looked at UK, we had looked at Singapore, and we had looked at a number of other countries, and we had come out that in making. But at the same time, the interim, we have come out with an affidavit-based clearance mechanism, wherein any investor, be it an Indian investor or be it a small scale, available to them, be it a very big company, they need not wait for the 15 approvals across 12 departments, because we do understand time is money. So these approvals, you sign an affidavit and you say that we will obey all the law of the land. Then these approvals are kept in abeyance. You can start construction. You can start. So all of this in order to ensure that, your project is grounded as soon as possible. So that's one thing that ABC that we have done. Similarly, what we have done in terms of policy making. So we do understand, one size cannot fit all. So we have one industrial policy that take care of generic kind of industries. And then we have some sector specific policies. Say, for example, aerospace and defense, its own flavor, it has its own requirements. So we have taken care of those in our aerospace and defense policy. We have the electric vehicle policy, which is looking into the entire infrastructure required for setting up charging stations and in order to incentivize electric vehicles. So again, we have that very specific policy that we have created. We have for data centers, if you're looking at, so for that, there is a separate policy. We have for electronics, because again, electronics is a very, very specialized sector. It has a very different, so you cannot have your general policy looking after that electronic policy. And while making these policies, we have looked at it, how efficient it is for a company which is coming from anywhere in the world. Say, for example, if somebody wants to see, how well we are doing against, say, China, they've been manufacturing in China. And what is it that, they'll see? So we say that our labor cost is 50% lesser and electricity charges are this. Electricity, we are a little higher compared to the China. So we have done this entire analysis. And now in the beginning, when somebody is changing, they require that delta because there is an initial big investment that is made. That delta that we have worked out is that what we are providing in terms of incentives and in terms of ease of doing business so that, they don't find it very, very difficult to set up their industry here and ensuring that all information is available readily at one place.
Well, not surprising at all to hear Karnataka considers its peers for investment to be the big global majors, not even so much other Indian states. And I think, too, to acknowledge that you may not be better than other markets in every place, but you're willing to be honest about that, too, is a terrific step. Let's talk about the COVID pandemic, of course. I mean, that also, you know, had, at least in the interim, a big change in supply chains and making a lot of companies and even governments think about, were they too heavy in some geographies and not necessarily heavy enough in others? Now that we're on at least the other side, or maybe a pause, depending on where we are in the COVID spectrum here, but does it look like things bounced kind of back to normal, what they were pre-COVID, or have there been changes in Karnataka in terms of how business is done and policy thrust and priorities?
So, of course, it has bounced back majorly. It also varies from sector to sector. So what we have been seeing is the kind of sectors that we in Karnataka champion are the sectors which were little, you know, they, if I say it, they were COVID-proof. So they did not face a kind of a downturn which the others. So IT and IT services went on during the COVID time. And we made sure here during our COVID management that there is a business continuity. So all of the companies, they were working from home, but all of their data centers and all of their, you know, back offices were working here very, very well. So that way they could provide services not only to the Indians, but all over the world, you know, where similarly aerospace and defense, we made sure that during the COVID time, we regarded them as essential service. So they were also on, they were working. All the export oriented companies and the sectors, they were also given an exception during the COVID time. So they were throughout the COVID times running. So similarly was the case with pharmaceutical, with the agriculture, with the telecommunication. So those are the sectors which continued. So for that matter, Karnataka did not do badly during the COVID times. But having said that, there were certain sectors which were impacted, like constructions. Those are the sectors which were impacted during the COVID time. And we are seeing a very big bounce back that we are, and that we can also see in the number, in the kind of interest that we are getting now from all over the world. And we have, during, as a precursor to the Global Investors Meet, we have traveled all over. So we've been to the East and we've been to the West. And what we see is people are looking at diversifying their supply chain and they are looking at India seriously. And we've been making compelling presentations and trying to tell them, you know, what are the advantages? Of course, not a single country can say that they have it all. And we are modest in that sense and we humble. But this is what we can give. And we have the commitment to ensure in Karnataka that we can make it a success. We've been working on it, which is why we came out with these number of policies as well. So we have seen in terms of growth also, if you see, we've been growing at a higher rate than the national average also. So if you see the this year's thing will come, we will be hitting, India will be hitting some 7% rate of growth, 6.8, 6.9, 7, that we will see. So we generally are a percent or two higher than the national.
Again, not surprising for somebody who's been to Karnataka a number of times to hear those numbers, but it is heartwarming to hear. We're running up against the end of time here, but one last, I think, really important question. You mentioned the availability of labor and the relatively low cost versus some pure markets. Some of the sectors I know that your government and that the national government has prioritized, you know, you talk about green hydrogen and semiconductors and data centers, needs a really high degree of skilled workers for a lot of these areas. What is the state doing to make sure that, you know, for investors coming in, that they're going to find a good supply of workers that have those more unique skills, I think, for some of these thrust sectors?
That's a very good question. So what we do is that we have a network of these ITIs, polytechnics, engineering colleges, and other skill centers. And we have these dedicated policies also. So we have tied up with the best of in the field. So we are working with the World Bank. We are working with Siemens. We are working with Tata Technologies. We are working with all the best colleges in India to ensure that these skill sets are available. So what we have done is that we have, in these ITIs, we have introduced new courses. Suppose there is a demand for electronics, like if we are working in the semiconductor and we're looking at maybe we'll get them here. So then before that, we have started working with the ITIs and with the engineering colleges to introduce those courses. So which is why those can be available. Similarly, when it comes to hydrogen, we are looking at creating the hydrogen cluster in Karnataka that can become an export hub. And we are working basically on creating policy. And there are a lot of issues because hydrogen is a green hydrogen is a new area that the world is exploring right now. We in Karnataka, we 63% of our energy installed capacity comes from renewable. So we are very well placed to provide green hydrogen to the world. The only thing that we are looking at right now is how much of the transmission is a possibility. And the skill set part, again, we have Ohmium, which is a one, it's an American company, which is making electrolyzer. They have their manufacturing capacity here. So we in Karnataka bring beautifully the high technology along with the high skill workmanship. And that we have in plenty, and we continuously upgrade it. So there are new courses that are introduced in colleges. I cannot name the companies, but we work very closely with them. We take them to India. We have premier institutes like Indian Institute of Science. We have the IIT also here. We have a number of other engineering colleges. So we work very closely to introduce these curriculum also. And then ITI, so every level, higher technology, we have a huge number of PhD pool, large pool of PhDs, and at the bottom also. So both the sides that we look at, you know, working out that the talent pool is available. And because we attract people from all over India, so we are never short of young people. They love Bangalore. They love Karnataka.
For a lot of reasons that we know well, good restaurants, good pubs, great work environment. Just got to do something about that traffic. And I think it'll double even the number of people that are coming to Bangalore to try to find that kind of gainful employment. But so many other beautiful cities, of course, in Karnataka, too. You know, most of us think of Bangalore first, but a lot of great corners of the state. Well, Ms. Gunjankrishna, it really is a pleasure to speak to you. Bangalore has been one of the first cities I visited India 25 years ago, a regular returning visitor, and seeing the city spring up and do so many incredible things. And with great officials that are helping leading the charge like yourself, surely only good things ahead. So Ken, thank you enough for giving us the time to join the Industry Nama podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. In fact, our association with the U.S., and with the Texas Instruments, way back in 1985, when they chose Bangalore over other cities. And that is the story, you know, that story continues. And I hope it continues for times to come. And thank you so much. Lovely talking.
That's it for today's episode. Subscribe to Industry Nama on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to visit our website at csis.org/India. And thanks for listening.